is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with El Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. El is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. El tells it like it is. Welcome El Hoshotara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. I'm your host for this hour. On here on newsforthesoul.com. So let's see here. Hold on here. So let's talk a little bit about codependency and the things that made it hard. Oh, we're going to go through this again, I know, because codependency is so much pain and suffering. But let's talk about, like, unrealistic expectations, because this is one of those spots where, well, actually, all codependency is, if you do it, you're going to get burned. You know, there's rejection, there's, you know, that's the pain and suffering end of the spectrum. Not that all pain and suffering comes for that end. You know, pets die, for example, just due to old age. So it's not that every single thing on the planet will come down to codependency, obviously, but a lot of it, does end up on the pain end of the spectrum. And some of those things, like, you know, what it means to be quote-unquote enlightened, and I'm not saying woke, because woke is not enlightened, it's woke, which is basically fashionable awareness. Like, oh my God, I'm so cool. And I know, so not popular right now to say that, and still so true. I know that's probably going to piss a lot of people off, and all the woke people are going to hang up, you know, not going to listen to this no more. But here's the thing, woke is fake. You know, and it's like, it's trying sometimes. And I will give credit where credit's due. So sometimes people are trying, you know, it's just you don't know yet. Or they're trying and like, they back up something and they don't understand yet. But like everybody else is backing it up. So they're backing it up too. And, you know, I mean, sometimes it's peer pressure. So I get that. But the problem with it is if you're not using it properly, it can create issues. And those issues are usually codependency, and codependency is abuse and toxicity. Yay! Oh, wait, we don't like that, huh? Even people who want to dole it out don't tend to like it, and they don't tend to see themselves as the abuser. You know, it's everybody else that's a problem. So unrealistic expectations of codependency are things like, and we see this a lot in spirituality, that if you're highly advanced, you will love people no matter what. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Loving somebody or having that love in your heart is different than the love that you have where that you've got an attachment to somebody else. And that's more earth plane based. And you love people because you have something in common with them. The love that flows through you as this being of light is actually not personal at all. And in fact, when people have it, sometimes other people can get very upset by it because it's not personal. So they can forgive you or understand why you're doing certain things. Absolutely. That feels great to be on the receiving end of it. If you've ever been on the receiving end of that, that's wonderful. But the problem is they're not necessarily going to have your back in a way that you may want, especially in codependency, because it's love in the heart, and it becomes more like, well, understand this other point of view. You know, understand what somebody else is going through, or else it's like, no, I'm not going to back up your codependency because this is what the truth is. This is what's healthier is. And so if somebody's very in codependency, it's amazing that they don't like that aspect of it, but they want the aspect of it where they think they're going to get carried. So codependency, a lot of things, like if you're quote-unquote advanced, it often means you're going to be carried. People are going to carry you. You don't have to be responsible for anything. You should just be able to lash out all you want, and people should understand. and people do understand, do they? Yes, but not in the way that you may realize. It's that what happens is that people start to you start to understand more things like for instance, patterns of trauma. Now, does that mean you let somebody get away with it? No. Does that mean that anytime somebody claims that they're being irresponsible, that it's trauma and they're not responsible for anything? No. In fact, that somebody is going to wreak a lot of havoc in your community. And they wreak a lot of havoc in each other's community. And people who are doing that, they don't like that. And the problem is those are going to be the people that are most susceptible to it because they're the ones most defending it. So if you're defending it, that means other people are more likely to give into it because you're holding the space that they should be allowed to. Or you're going to bring those people into your life because you're not supposed to say that's wrong. It's bad and wrong to notice that people are going to be creating havoc in your community. How dare you? Oh, it's demonic. I see. You know, and you see these sorts of things like online where like, you must be part of the dark side. And it's like, whoa, okay, pumpkin. I think that's the dark side. Oh, because it is. and it's not the dark side to refuse to have stuff be lashed out on you. It's the dark side to be backing it up. And that's really important to understand. And, you know, some of those things are really hard to take, and I understand that at the beginning. But you'll notice that a lot of the things of what I'm saying is like, I understand that, but this is why you're getting burned, right? I understand, but this is where it's causing you problems. It's not going to be good for you to have other people in your community who are acting like that and taking that stuff out on you. It's just not good, and it creates a lot of pain and suffering. And karma, I usually see karma as like going, okay, pumpkin, yeah, maybe you want to knock that off. Okay, oh, don't want to knock that off. Okay, they get fired from the job. They lose their relationship. Okay, pumpkin, have you learned your lesson? No. Oh, all your friends are gone. Okay. Oh, have you learned your lesson yet, pumpkin? No. Oh, you don't have any friends. Okay. Okay, pumpkin. and it's usually those sorts of things. Now, does it mean that, you know, anybody who does not have friends is a bad person? No. because there's always opportunity, but people don't necessarily want to take the opportunity for what they have. And or what they recognize, or who they're trying to be friends with, or who wants to be friends with them. You know, if you've ever done a lot of networking, for example, and you are young and female, you know, the creepy guy in the room is like, well, hello there, he's going to be your friend. And it's like, oh, fuck. so it's, you know, not always that, you know, you're deliberately doing anything to be, you know, codependency is like, you must be doing something to attract it. Well, yes and no, but sometimes that thing you're doing is that you're young and good looking. Wow. And you don't have boundaries. so your lack of boundaries, can that, you know, get people coming up to you? Perhaps frequently. Can people read that on you? Yes. How do you know that? So if you've ever like, oh God, How I Met Your Mother, I watched that show. I was a huge fan of that show. I'm not a huge fan. I liked the show. Neil Patrick Harris. I'm a huge fan of Neil Patrick Harris. But there was one, you know, incident where, you know, Barney, the character that Neil Patrick Harris played, Barney was, you know, he was a lovable sleazeball. And so he's always trying to, you know, get the girls and stuff like that. And he had like this facade on and stuff like that. And he was talking about the character, not Neil Patrick Harris, but like women with, you know, daddy issues and stuff like that. And so if you don't have good boundaries, for example, if you have low self-esteem, yes, people can tell that outside of yourself. And predatory people tend to look for those types of things. So that's, you know, predatory, creepy old guys. That is, well, tends to look for that. Narcissists, psychopaths, sociopaths, those sorts of things, because you're not going to have the child molesters, because you're not going to have the boundaries to turn them down, or you won't necessarily get rid of them. So some people actually actively look for people who have low self-esteem. So does that mean, and I want to be clear, so does that mean that you've done anything wrong? Well, it means you have work to do, but that's not the same thing as going as like doing something wrong where, you know, you're standing up on stage at a networking event, you know, cussing out a bunch of people, calling them, you know, assholes to be polite. You know, that's like doing something wrong. But, you know, not having built yourself up yet, or you're still in the learning and you just haven't gotten to that part yet, we don't really label those as like things you've been doing wrong. How dare you? It's just stuff you still have to work on. So there are reasons why, you know, and trauma being held in the body is another one, that people can learn to pick up on your energy and think that you're going to be putting up with it. And, you know, when those sorts of things happen, it is very common in those communities where people don't know how to work their lives out. They think they do, but then they're in pain and suffering all the time. And if you're pain and suffering all the time, you've got areas that you don't know how to work your life out in. I know, not a popular thing to say on the radio. Still true. And that's really important to understand, because life can get better, but when people don't understand how to make their life work and they don't know how to make it work well enough at all to a very large degree, which I know some people don't like, and you'll notice I keep saying people aren't going to like and they're still going to be affected by it, because if I haven't put that out there in the past, and a lot of people have a huge codependency flare. Rah! Okay, pumpkin, you realize you're the one who's suffering the most from this, right? Maybe. Okay, pumpkin. but when people don't know how to make their life work, and the codependency is, as I said in the past, extraordinarily hard to get a good footing on in order to get stability, in order to be able to know what's right, what's wrong, where to turn, where to move. what happens is people start coming up with really interesting ways of coming up with things about how the world is going to work, or it should work, or you're going to give it to them to cover for their lack, to cover for their lack of knowledge. And sometimes that really, 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 really goes far off into fantasy land. And then that's when we start getting the carrying, and then you get songs out in the public domain like, "He's not heavy, he's my brother," you know, and... and you got to kind of watch that, because there is a lot of literature out there. There is music out there that's written by people with codependency. And if you don't realize that, or don't understand that they're understanding about caring without going into codependency, then what happens is you get people who get off on these sort of like fantasy things where you're supposed to be caring them and they're not responsible for their lives at all, which is really interesting, because in codependency you'll get you'll get different types of people, but two big ones are, one, they'll back up the codependency because they're short on that themselves. So, yes, you should carry somebody if you're a good person. So if you've won the lottery and you barely know somebody, you should give them, you know, half your money. No, keep your money. so there's that. And then there's number two, which is, you know, they don't like it, but they're not correlating it with their own behaviors, and they're not correlating it with the fact that they're doing it. So you'll get people who are bullying, for example, who are playing the victim, and isn't that the darndest thing? Or you get people who complain about abuse, and yet they've got tons of abuse in their communities. you know, so you get a lot of that sort of thing, like, you know, you know, people who are being very controlling, for example, but complaining that they're being the victims. Well, why are you the victim? Because somebody's been over-controlling in your life, you know, or over-controlling and lashing out or abusive or toxic, but people can be toxic and abusive through controlling. So, you know, that doesn't really work, but instead of understanding that codependency, people try to, you know, go for the throat, everybody else is wrong, you know, they're the victim, they deserve, and, you know, codependency is also full of excuses to take abuse and toxicity out on other people. I deserve to do it to you because it was done to me. No, that's how it spreads. When you've been abused a lot, that's what's happened in a lot of cases. you know, or you work at that company, you owe me. No, I'm sorry if you have a problem with the company, but, you know, you need to talk to the person who owns the company, or, you know, is in charge of, like, you know, handling internal policies or external policies or whatever, the refund policy. If you have a problem with it, it has absolutely nothing to do with the cashier. And if you're bashing the cashier just because they work there, guess what? You're abusive, right? Like, it's not... And that's just the way it is, like codependency, you know, people don't want to admit that or like that. And then, of course, they, you know, carry on the abuse patterns. They get tired of being abused by other people because their abuse patterns triggers other people's abuse patterns, or their abuse patterns gets triggered by other people's abuse patterns. And then you've got, you know, hell and high water, massive amounts of abuse going on. So, you know, and, you know, you have to take responsibility for your life and your actions. And again, it's, you know, a lot more than what I'm saying just on the show. I mean, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. But it's interesting that the ones that are in the most pain and suffering tend to understand that the least, and the ones that are in the least amount of pain and suffering can often understand that more. Or if they've done their work, even if they've come from a lot of pain and suffering, they understand that the most. And so that's why their lives are better, is because, and it's why they're in less pain and suffering, because they understand they don't have a right to take it out on anybody else. If they have a problem with somebody, they talk to them. So what happens if you're dealing with somebody who's too toxic to have a conversation with? Does that happen? Abso-freaking-lutely. You know, then sometimes it's like, you know, people are going to blow their lives up. And sometimes it's like, okay, but you don't need to sit around for it. You don't need to listen to them. You do not need to honor that. Codependency, you must honor my pain and suffering, even when it costs you lots. And it's like, no, I don't need to do that. Mm-mm. I don't need to sit there and honor that. I'm sorry you tried to blow up your life, but hey, guess what? You know, somebody tries to blow up your relationship. Do you need to honor their pain and suffering in that? No. And again, that's another example of curing. You know, somebody's, you know, not being responsible for their life. They're acting out, they're lashing out, and they expect you to honor that. No. No. You should honor that their feelings are equal and valid to yours. No. Mm-mm. Not necessarily. If she people are pulling a bunch of stuff, then yes, their actions and feelings would be equal to each other's, but that's not the same thing as being high value or being out of it. So, you know, no, there's, you know, all these ideas of caring, no. And in fact, a lot of the people that, like the gurus and stuff like that, that people are using as examples for, they carry you, they talk about love. They may talk about love, but some of the gurus that the people are following aren't even alive. They've never met them. They've met them 6 times, maybe 10. Just because somebody's in a guru's camp does not actually mean that they spent a lot of time with the guru. That's really important to understand. It also does not mean that they've gotten much instruction, you know, beyond business stuff. You know, so there's a lot of these fallacies, and it, you know, all of this stuff comes from codependency, these, you know, misguided notions of how people should carry you, and you don't need to be responsible for yourself. And it's like, no, 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 no. But the more that people do them, the more that they tend to be in pain and suffering, which is really interesting. And they don't correlate that. So people lose resources. They instigate it. They break up relationships, lose jobs, end up in jail in some cases, the whole nine yards. And while there's a lot of pain and suffering, and it can be very hard to get over the anger, you know, the anger at the stupidity, the anger at the pain and suffering that's in the world, got it, but your only choice really is to work through it, allow yourself to be okay, even when things don't feel like they're okay, but still in allowing yourself to be okay. Why is this important? Because you are okay in more moments than you think. Even in very, very, you know, drastic situations, you are still more alive, you're still more okay in certain moments than you think or want to give credit to. Now, are there certain situations where that may not be applicable? That's going to be, I want to be clear, extraordinarily hard to do. For example, somebody living in a war zone, I'm going to say obviously, if somebody's, you know, being held hostage and being used for sexual slavery is another example. those sorts of things, you know, they've got people, men coming in, you know, paying somebody shoddy and they're not allowed to leave the room and they've got to let whoever hop on top of them. You know, those sorts of things, that is sexual slavery. people do those things. It's not the same thing. Yeah, actually it is. If they're not allowed to leave, that's slavery. so, you know, so people who are visiting prostitutes, even if the, you know, pimp's not there, something to consider. but all those sorts of things, you know, are out there. And it can be very hard to get over, you know, a lot of those sorts of ideas. And I want to be clear, like, it's not about saying that, like, all these things are going to be okay, that they should happen, that they can happen. There's a lot of stuff out there that definitely needs to be put a stop to it. there is a difference, though, between, you know, that level of it and you not being responsible for something in your life that you could improve or that you could take responsibility for. And that's you and that's other people as well. And so when we understand that, people can climb out of the deepest, darkest recesses possible, and they really can come into the light, and they can make massive amounts of improvement. And that's true for, you know, people who've been held as sex slaves for years. And, you know, so when it's possible even to that degree, then it is definitely possible for anybody who's had far less suffering than, you know, constant, consistent rape, living in fear of their lives. I really want to be clear about that. Especially if, you know, you're out of it now and you haven't, you know, been at the mercy of your stepfather or something else for the past 20 years, there are improvements that can be made. And for anybody who, you know, hasn't been, thankfully, at the mercy of, you know, being raped as a child repeatedly, you know, then, of course, it becomes easier, provided that you're willing to let it happen and provided you're willing to do the work on it. And it's interesting, like, people get very jam-packed and, like, no, they don't want to, they shouldn't have to. But that's all how all those patterns continue. I mean, some of those guys that are, you know, really delusional, yeah, the 15-year-old hooker's really into them. Yep, she's crazy about him. Yeah, no. You know, the 30-year-old broken guy who's, you know, I think here 15 is like the age of consent, so I don't think that's quite child molesting, but it's, I still call that legal child molesting, you know, but it's still not consent. And if it's not consent, it's rape. You know, why do some of those guys do that? Because they've been, you know, punched, beaten, abused by their mothers who've been raped, punched, beaten, you know, by their fathers. And it's how the patterns continue. And you don't break those patterns by continuing it, whether it's those levels of it or, you know, yelling and screaming at the office staff because somebody took the last donut, or even, you know, being mad at a friend because you two got it confused about which Starbucks you're going to be meeting at. And, you know, and somebody's willing to blow up the friendship over that because they're not willing to look at the fact that it was an honest mistake where it was an honest mistake, or they don't have the capability and they don't want to work on the capability because they'd rather be mad. So all of that stuff, you know, it's patterns continuing, it's pain and suffering continuing, and some people will take whatever pain and suffering they've had and create a lot more of it than they've ever had when they've been on the receiving end of it, which is also important to understand. So when we're looking at, you know, the things and places where people get rejected, people get, you know, it's a hard life. It's a hard life when you're in communities where those patterns are happening. And what about when you leave them, when you're still haunted by certain things or you're still mad? Nervous system work is very important. Trauma work is very important. Your self-development work is extremely important. Because unless you have those new behaviors, unless you have access to them, you know how to work them appropriately, and yes, there is more safety with having them than there is without them, it tends to be a rocky road, even if you leave, like, abusive situations. If enough stuff has not been cleared out, you'll still suffer from it through what you're going through in your mind, or you'll still suffer through it because it'll recreate the patterns. And so those things are really, really, really important to understand. So when we're repeating patterns or thinking, you know, like, oh, there's an entitlement to take it out on other people, no, that's how the abuse spreads. And this is why, you know, there's that spiritual idea where it's like, you know, you know what's happening in the world is because of what, you know, you're putting out there. While you're not putting certain things out there, you know, negativity, like the anything looking for an abuse, even a little bit can cause somebody else to do it, and then they do it a little bit more, and then the next person does a little bit more. And it's not that you need to sit there and be perfect while somebody grinds into you. Again, that would be codependency, and that would be, you know, somebody, you're not perfect, they get to take all the shit out on you. Again, that would be the dark side. That's not like, oh my God, you have to be perfect. That would be codependency. But it is understanding, like, you know, what we're putting out there, is important, and also that the more that people are in codependency, some of the dark stuff that they put out there, it's going to feel very subtle and they won't think it's a big deal. So for some people, you know, it's not a big deal if they punch their three-year-old in the head, you know, four nights a week, you know, it's not a big deal, you know, kids will recover, you know, they didn't break bones, it's not a big fucking deal. And is that a big deal? Absolutely. But, you know, and it goes darker than that. So, you know, having that understanding that, you know, if somebody's still getting rejected a lot, for example, what they're putting out there can be felt by other people. You've all seen somebody from across the street that you, your warning signs go up about. You know that. But also understanding that the deeper that it goes, it's not as subtle as people think that it is, which is really interesting. So, you know, bottom line, you know, it's like we, everybody's got to do the work and take it to the next level and go up from there. So let's see here. We have the mailbag here. So we do have open lines. You can go to our website. It's newsforthesoul.com. And you can, let's see, also go to our website that is on the, newsforthesoul.com. You can also write in at ontheair@tellus.net. That's tell us with only one L, ontheair@tellus.net. And you can call into our station here, or our show. That's 646-595-4274. That's area code 646-595-4274. So I'm just going to check the mailbag here. Just getting back. Aha. Cole caught it, and she gave me the new ones that I missed. So thank you, Nicole. Okay, so we have Rhonda in New York. She wants a reading about her current relationship. Is it going to work out? So one moment here, Rhonda in New York. No. Point blank and simple, Rhonda, no. Here's the thing. You're both holding past experiences in your body, and you're both holding it to enough of a degree that you probably, you two are in a relationship most likely because you're not able to tell that you wouldn't want to be in a relationship with the other person because you're not understanding where holding past experiences and trauma in the body can create a lot more hardship in a relationship than it is. So chances are you guys are going to have a blow up, and it's just, you're just going to break things off because you're probably not going to you're going to be reactive to each other, basically. You know, and it's like you have the opportunity, of course, and we do see that happening. It's like, what, you can save the relationship. Okay, you know, anger goes down, and then he's going to be snarly. again, you know, so that level of anger, he's got it too. Just when sometimes guys look like, yeah, okay. You know, they're just kind of, they can look, I don't want to say mellow because a lot of people associate that with being on marijuana, but if you've ever seen a guy who's like not on marijuana, but he's got that like, yeah, cool, sort of like that vibe. People try to act overly cool because they don't know how to deal with things, but it can still be a lot of anger inside and, you know, a lot of, you know, getting very upset. And a lot of snarling, you know, like the 0 to 60 type thing. So you both have, and I see this in people who've had a lot of trauma in their lives where there's like a 0 to 60 to anger. But when you're in it, sometimes like it'll feel like, well, that's just normal. Somebody's done something to piss you off. And I'm not saying that like nobody's ever done anything to piss you off ever. That would be unrealistic, of course. So there are going to obviously be places where you're angry, and it's going to be for a valid reason that you're angry. I want to be clear about that. But when people are holding trauma in their bodies, they often don't understand what that anger is going to look like versus if they don't have trauma in their bodies. And they've done enough work on themselves. And this is not about, you know, holding your anger down to try to make it work okay, just so that people don't understand that you're not going to be calling them names or something. It's that it's actually worked through and released from the body. And if you had that enough, you would not be interested in him. He would be like, nope. And if he had his stuff worked out enough, he would equally also be able to, yeah, that's interesting. If he had some of his stuff worked out, he'd be like, well, hello there. But if he had some of his stuff worked out more, he'd have a lot more interest in you. But then he would also start taking it out on you more because he would feel more comfortable taking it out on you more, which is really interesting. So, you know, and these are common dynamics, unfortunately, of when people are holding traumas in their body. It just tends to be a lot of anger, a lot of fighting, a lot of lashing out. So, you know, again, you know, trauma therapy, very beneficial for those sorts of things. Nervous system work, very beneficial for those sorts of things. Nervous system work can also help with a lot of other things. But when people are in it, because they're in it, there seems to be some incapability to be able to see that. And it's very hard to take somebody else's word for it. You know, are they telling the truth? You know, do they actually know what they're talking about? And so the best way to be able to see through it all or to recognize it is to work through it. But then you have to be able to trust somebody enough that they know what they're talking about enough to be able to see through it. Because it's very hard when you're in it. But bottom line, you know, if it ends up playing out that way, you know, that and he does it in a way that you're able to recognize where, you know, things blow up or you're trying really hard and he's like snarl or sneer or whatever, like, you're just high maintenance or whatever it is. When you get tired of having relationships that keep going like that, then I would really suggest taking a look at trauma therapy and nervous system stuff. Because without it, usually when I see the things that I'm seeing in his energy fields, I don't usually see people who make it out of that without trauma work therapy and without nervous system help for regulation. So, you know, I wish I could tell you that I could just, you know, snap my fingers and all this would go away. But I can't. And it is a lot easier to not have those issues being held in your body. And again, you know, I know some people have done a lot of therapy work and nothing has worked. Or, you know, some people just say that they haven't really put in effort. They're like, it doesn't work. It's like, yeah, okay, pumpkin, that's why you're not getting results, is because you're not doing the work. But okay, pumpkin. but some people actually do really, really, really put in a lot of work and it's not working. And they're doing tons of self-development work and it's not working, or not, they're not getting results they should. That would be an example of trauma therapy and needing nervous system regulation or talking to somebody to see about that. So thank you so much, honey. You know, I really wish I had better news. I hope you know, write back in. Realize you may not have liked that reading, but I'm telling you for your best interest because I do want you to succeed. And I would also like you to be able to find a relationship that's not going to end up with you either angry or pissed off or having to hold yourself back and feeling like you're taking on too much or putting up with too much because you're getting somebody who's also very reactive and lashing out and they're not taking care of it. And you're trying to hold on to a relationship that you're getting treated like dirt in, which are side effects of holding trauma in the body and not having it worked out and released. So good luck. Again, here for you if you want to, you know, write back in. And I really do wish you the best. Bye-bye. So let's see, we have Janice in Toronto. So one moment here. Just going to do a cleanse between readings. And we have Janice in Toronto. And then Wendy in Seattle, you will be up next because as soon as I just cleared, Spirit's like, Wendy! Okay, so, but I said Janice, so I'm going to do Janice first. So we have Janice in Toronto. What do I see for her future at her new job? Okay, so Janice, honey, so you have trouble people letting people in. I get that. so letting people in does not mean going overly vulnerable. It does not mean giving people information that they don't want or need. It doesn't mean, you know, when you've got stuff to work out, it does not mean that you need to tell people about it, especially at work. It's working that stuff out with people that you trust, you know, come in for coaching. As an example, those sorts of things would be really good for you to have more beneficial ways to learn how to appropriately let people in so that things aren't going to be as problematic. Because here's the thing, when you have the facade going on, it's like when you're holding yourself back, it is very common that you don't pick up things in other people. And so your new job, if you put your guard down and you start to let people in, some of the people there are going to have anger issues. But, you know, it's probably not going to be that good. You're probably not going to like the environment a whole lot. And what's going to happen with that is, you know, you're really, you know, that like, you know, the facade, you know, like the cool, nice person, you know, is not really connecting with people, isn't letting anybody in. It probably works for you really well. And it is a very, very, very strong fallback position for you, or fallback position for you, which means that you tend to use that when you don't know how to deal with things. The problem is you missed some aspects when you were going in that are probably going to say, it's probably not going to be the most comfortable work environment for you. Here's the thing, because when I see people who've got it, you know, the facade as strong as you do, they can often end up in, you know, it can be very hard to let that much of a facade down or to let people in. But what I would suggest you do when you look for a new job from now on, go in with the facade down. Check it out when you're applying for a job, or before you've applied for the job, before you've applied for the interview, go in there, check out their services or whatever, go into the job interview with the facade down and get a good feeling of whether you're actually going to want to work in that environment. Because if you had done that, you would have realized it would have been too uncomfortable for you to want to work in that environment. You would have found it out right away in the beginning. So what do I mean by that? I understand it would be tempting to use a facade, like if you're actually in the interview portion, but so while you're walking into the building, before you go into the actual interview, put the facade down, feel what it's like in the building. You know, if they're escorting you out, great, you know, ask if they have a washroom you could borrow before you leave. And if they're like, yeah, it's great down the hall, well, thank you so much. Well, thank you so much for meeting you. You know, actually don't ask them for the where the washroom is, but on the way out, just ask where the washroom is. But as soon as you're done the interview, put the facade down. And you're not like putting the facade down and interviewing and being vulnerable with people that you don't know, or being besties or whatever with people you don't know. You're just putting the facade down so that you're going to be able to feel what the energy is actually like. And use that, you know, ask where the washroom is, use that as an excuse, keep the facade down all the way to the washroom, all the way out of the building. Anytime you are not in an interview or not around the person that you're interviewing or around the important people, put the facade down and just allow yourself to feel. Now, I understand this looks like it's not comfortable for you at all to do. The problem with it is with this, you're in a position where it's going to be not comfortable emotionally, like really not comfortable emotionally. And you're going to be looking at working in that, whereas if you hadn't picked that up in the beginning before you worked there, you could have picked an environment where it would have been okay to put the, yeah, like, I'm really cool and nice. You could have had the opportunity to put that down a little bit and then start to heal the places, or at least release a little bit of the facade so you could have been a little bit more comfortable at work without always feeling like you have to hold yourself back or having to hold yourself upright or having to hold yourself as if you look like you're the cool, nice girl all of the time, which can be very, very wearing. And so, like, if you're trying to put that facade down in the wrong environment, especially in the beginning, it is going to be too overwhelming, right? And that makes sense, that it's going to be too much. And again, that is your current work environment. And you could try it out. You know, you go in tomorrow and or whenever your next work day is, you go and you put your facade down, and if it's like, no, it's too much, it's too overwhelming, ding, 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 point proven. So, yeah, there's that. I would suggest, you know, you might want to look for another place, and again, do that. I mean, you could take your time as much as you want, really. I wouldn't suggest you take too much time, but, you know, look for places and get in the practice of that. Because here's the thing, you don't have to do it when you're interacting with people if that's too scary, if that's too overwhelming. But when you're going in and just checking out the environment, allow yourself to actually feel. And if it's too overwhelming, if it's too much of the time, then that would be a really good example of talking to somebody who does trauma therapy or the nervous system work. Again, you, I think, could come in for coaching as well. But what it is you're practicing like feeling and getting used to feeling. And you can start with, say, things like, you know, a really good happy TV show, happy music, you know, you're a loving pet, you know, nieces and nephews, for example, if they're, you know, young enough or if you have that trust enough. And sometimes if it's too hard with another human being, because sometimes it can be in the beginning, again, starting with pets, starting with human beings that, you know, it's their image, but it's not actually them. So again, like, you know, a really great TV show, something really happy, you know, a really beneficial documentary, something inspiring, whatever, a good book, even if it's fiction. Fiction can be great for that sometimes. you know, those sorts of things, you know, lying in the bathtub, you know, having a good book in the bath. I know some people take the wine in there. Do not take the wine in when you are starting this practice. Any alcohol, because alcohol does bring in dark entities and it'll make things like horrible. So do not drink or imbibe in other things. Marijuana, same thing. Do not imbibe in those things while you're doing that and opening and feeling and getting used to it, because it'll crash you down with the darkness, because alcohol and marijuana, they're dark. I know marijuana is very popular now. It's still dark. I know. so those sorts of things, but you can learn to start to get into the feeling and being okay with feeling as much as you do. And again, if it's overwhelming in too many different environments, that is a good time to check out, you know, coaching, just to learn where to build skill set and where it's appropriate to build skill set and how much. And I'd love to have you as a client. You're very lovely. So, you know, and behind the facade. Okay. So that is something that you come in for coaching as well. But I do wish you the best of luck, honey. But yeah, probably taking a different job is going to be in your best interest. So we have, let's see, Wendy in Seattle. She wants a general reading. What message does Spirit have for her today? Oh, Seattle. I love Seattle people. Okay, one moment here. Okay, so Wendy, this may sound a little like, what do you mean? I'm already doing this. So Spirit's actually asking you to engage more in light-filled activities and being actively engaged in community and all those sorts of things. Now, I'm saying, like, you know, you probably feel like you're already doing this, but there's a difference between, like, meditation and, you know, choosing to do a spiritual practice versus engagement when you are out and about, you're doing, you know, you're engaged in a community, you're doing practices, not to remove yourself from other people or, you know, because sometimes, like, okay, I'm practicing listening. Sometimes people do that and they're like listening. They're like, okay, I'm listening. I'm deciphering. I'm a good person. And it's like more in the head than it is actually engagement with the other person and actually listening to what they say and trying to actually understand them or to have communion. And that's where Spirit is trying to get you to push on that and push more. They're saying, like, some of the solo stuff that you've been doing, the stuff that's in your head, you know, they're trying to get you out of that into more engagement so that you are taking it to the next level. Because practice is good, but practice is, you know, you get the hang of it, you come up with these feelings so that things can change when you're out there in your environment. But your last, you know, your last final frontier really is the human experience. And that tells you where you're falling short or where you're too much in your head or. And again, you know, I've talked a lot on the show about, like, some people are so problematic to deal with and that is hard to get the footing. And some people will naturally be more reactive. That being said, again, it's like, you know, where are you taking it? It's not always the other person, Wendy, you know that. so it's more like just learning that and learning how to have the engagement of it, how to have the open heart, And again, open heart and practice is radically different than open practice when you are out, you know, at a dinner party, you know, at a networking event with other people. Radically, radically different. And so they're wanting you to practice on all those things and actually being in communion with other people and doing that and taking things to the next step with your practices. So thank you so much, Wendy. And we have Terry in New Zealand. Oh, she got the H in there for money. H is money, honey. So she'd like help intuiting her true life purpose. So Terry in New Zealand. One moment. Oh, boy. Okay. This is a new one, so just give me a minute. Yeah, Terry, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that read on the air. I'm not sure everything that it entails, and I don't want some people to get the wrong idea. That would be more if you want to come in for a reading on that, I'd be happy to give you 15 minutes for free. You can just go to my website. That's www.enlightmentinthecity.com. You can just write me there, and I'll give you 15 minutes for free, just because I'm not willing to read that one on the air. But yeah, I'm not going to put that one out there just because of the usage and stuff like that, and I'm not exactly quite sure how that's supposed to go, but I know that's going to be wide open to a lot of misinterpretation, and I'm not going to put that out there because I don't want people doing it that way. So thank you, but yeah, I get 15 minutes for free. Just write me. Don't bother with the like appointment thing. Just write me and say hi, and we'll book a time. Thank you so much for writing in. We have, let's see here, one moment. Just let me clear here. Yeah, Jane in Sedona is asking if the healing experience she had recently was real. One moment here, Jane in Sedona. Yeah, part ways. So it definitely did have some. It definitely did have some effect, and the effect was real. Not everything got resolved. I would say, obviously, because you're writing and asking, but it definitely, some part of it absolutely did. I can understand your reservations sometimes when we're looking at the practitioner and going, yeah, I don't know about that person, and they're doing work. And, I mean, even people with warning signs can sometimes, you know, still give you a real experience. But it can make it very, you know, like, I don't know if this is real. I don't know if I trust that person, those sorts of things. But, yeah, you definitely did have some actual real healing with that. So congratulations. It definitely happened. You know, whether you want to continue working with that person or not is completely up to you. But, you know, one thing is, you know, it's usually when we're getting healing done, unless this is like a freebie from somebody, you're better off usually trusting the person that you work with. And by saying trusting, I don't mean forcing yourself to trust somebody you don't. I mean, if you realize that you trust somebody and you could have a conversation with them, or you realize, okay, your warning signs aren't flaring off. Okay, cool. You'd like to check this out. That's going to be a better place to do work with somebody than somebody who is like flaring off your warning signs. You're like, oh, I don't know about this. That can be better off to escape. Sometimes it's a warning sign, and again, you know, there definitely was talent and capability there. You definitely did have some healing, but again, it's usually easier to believe if you at least understand that, like, you know, your warning signs aren't firing with somebody. So thank you so much. And we have left Danny in Arizona. So you are in the mailbag, honey. I'm sorry, we're at the top of the hour here. And so thank you so much, everybody, for writing in. It was a quiet day today. I really do wish you all the best. And I know some of the things I say are really straightforward, but I hope everybody understands I'm saying this in your best interest to help point you in the right direction so that you can get the healing that you need, or to work stuff out however you need to. So thank you so much, everybody. Here again every single week, 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago. That's your rush hour. You can also find me at newsforthesoul.com. Again, that's here. And you can also find me at enlightenmentinthecity.com. And I'm here every single week, 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago. That's your rush hour. And come for the coaching. I'm happy to help you, you know, short-term things like doing the reading so you know what, which way to turn, et cetera. But please come in for the coaching, because the coaching is something that helps you to make changes, you know, and helps things to keep unfolding, and it helps to make it work, you know, for good in some cases. Woohoo! So thank you so much, everybody. I love you, and I wish you all the best. Have a good day. Bye-bye.